Hello, friends. This is the Messenger Podcast, where our goal is to develop messengers whose lives tell the story of the gospel. The gospel, the good news of life, can reach into every part of our everyday. So we want to use this time to explore what that means for you and your world. Today, I am joined by such a special guest. She's sitting across the table from me. She is the OG. She is Mama Lioness. She is my mom, the fierce, the one and only Lisa Bevere.
Wow.
I know. If we had an audience here, I know there would be applause.
Or people would be like, OG, original godmother or original gangster.
That's where I'm going. I'm going original godmother, because that's what we're talking about today is godmothers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Today, launch day. Launch day.
What? Legacy message, mom.
Well, and saints. Saints and godmothers launched this year together. I just kind of feel like it's like,
true.
Wait a minute.
That shout out, mom.
It's a little bit of a divine echo.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I do.
Feel it.
Saints and godmothers.
Kind of borrowing some terminology from the Catholic world a bit.
Well, wait a minute. We're borrowing saints from the Bible.
Well, actually, both of them were technically borrowing from the pre-Catholic world.
Or the pre-Bible world. Like the world before we had
the Bible
as
we know it now.
Yes.
Although, if you look at the Old Testament, the term saint is used quite a bit.
Yeah. The godmother is a role, not a term.
I love that. That's the same
role
with saints. See, I'm just going to get on the godmother's wagon.
Yeah, there we go. It's a role.
So, like, yeah, saints.
Yeah, I
a
command
role,
the older women. They must teach and train. That is, hey, you godmother, you do it.
Well, I am so excited about diving into today's discussion, and we're going to get into all that good stuff. But before we dive in, I want to remind our listeners to take the time, if they haven't already, to write a review, rate the show. This really helps us get the message out. And we like to do shout outs during the episodes for people who actually go and do what we ask them to do. So this is for Cascanes 90. I think I said that right. I do this every time. I just need to say it confidently and not question whether or not I'm saying it right. But the review says, I listened to episode 73 with Pastor Matt on my commute to work, and it was so good to listen to before I started my workday. It was perfect timing, talking about how God calls us to do things and we can't ignore it due to doubt or fear. Thank you so much for taking the time to write a review. And mom, really, that's our heart. Like, we want to speak to what people are navigating today, what they're navigating on their drive to work, what they're navigating in their family dynamics, what they're navigating in their own sense of finding their place in this world, what it means to live with a sense of calling and belonging and community and mission. And this is why I'm so excited about godmothers, because it's about making those connections.
Yes.
So tell us, like, what is a godmother? Like, when I first heard the term of godmother, I totally thought the godfather, right? Well, which I think most people are going to go
there. Yeah, but
that's
because you're more Italian than me.
I am.
I'm more Sicilian
Ancestry.com
than you.
Results are in. I am more Italian than my mom.
Because
for those
your
of y'all
dad,
who are listening, you're like,
your
there's
dad
no
donated.
Way that's possible because you've seen my peachy complexion. Well, it is possible. And for the record, I'm not just peaches and cream. I can get a little tan if I spend significant amount of time in the sun.
Which, who has time for that?
Exactly. We're doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
So
no,
I don't get to do that.
Yeah. This is changing in the world. Maybe in heaven, you get to have a sun.
You know what? Is that how that works?
Yeah. I think maybe in heaven, we all start to look like Jesus. I'm hoping for that.
That nice Middle Eastern, not white,
33,
not black, like right in the middle.
33.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're
all
for your age.
Okay.
No. So the why, you know, Addison, I try to write the books that I wish I could have read, that I wish somebody would have written for me when I was a younger girl. And you and I, you've been such a gift with helping me formulate my seasons in my life, that the first 30 years I'm learning, I'm growing, the next I'm building, I'm establishing. And then I turned 60 in June, had my golden 6660 turned 60 birthday. And that was my time period to mark something, to say, you know what? This is about leaving a legacy. This is about creating some pathways for others, and calling to those who are in a state of hesitation, whether they're hesitant to be godmothers, to actually pour out the hardships of their life and the blessings of their life on another generation, as well as the goddaughters, to say, hey, you know what? We're not watching for you to fail. We're watching for you to succeed. And we're not going to be like on your side. We're going to be by your side. We're going to be those women who will help you with course corrections, that will help you with saying, okay, here's some gaps in your life. I tried this. That didn't work out so well for me. Let me help you figure out what that dynamic is. And to be honest with you, Addison, I've had the incredible honor of traveling and speaking all over the world and being on stages in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
But I am finding it to be more rewarding to speak into people rather than in front of people. Wow. And so this is my
stage
to stage. Yep. So this is my, this is my idea right now. And, you know, it came from a lack.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that most God things come from a broken lack in our lives. I wanted a godmother. I remember God calling me to minister to women before I even married your dad.
Before you liked women too, right?
Yeah, well, definitely before I liked them. Yeah, it was before I was married. I had just gone through what I felt like was incredible rejection,
yeah,
betrayal, misunderstanding, misrepresentation by an older woman. Yeah. And I was 22 years of age and I thought, man, I can't believe she's done this to me. And I'm crying and I thought God was going to be like, it's awful. She's terrible. But instead
he
said,
smash her teeth.
Yes, I'll do all this for you and more. But yeah, he didn't. He said, I've called you to minister to women. And I'm like, is this a joke? Like, no, this is, I said, I don't even like women. I'm not even sure I am one. I have a man's brain, a woman's body. So I was kind of ahead of myself in this gender conflicting thing. And he didn't say anything to me like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're the wrong person. I didn't mean to talk to you. He actually said nothing. So I kind of put my own stipulation on it. I said, well, if you want me to pour into another woman, you better get me one to pour into me because I got nothing. And 8 years later, I am pregnant with your younger brother, Alexander.
Okay.
We are driving up and down I-95. You know, John's preaching the gospel. We're a family.
Tiny churches. We're all in our Honda Civic.
Yep. And staying in.
We're eating at McDonald's, which is really exciting for me because that was pretty much the
I don't
only
think you
time
ever,
I got
no,
to eat.
No,
yes,
no. Wendy's and Arby's.
I just remember getting the little toys, hey, and that was a big deal.
Yeah, that's
because
all we,
that didn't happen in our family. We didn't normally eat at places like that.
No, and I did take you through McDonald's a couple of times as a secret.
Some of the best moments of my life.
Yeah, your dad was not part of that. So, but yeah, so we, you know, I found myself in Rockingham, North Carolina. We had driven all day, barely got there in time for your dad to take a shower. He rushes off to service. I've got you in Austin. We're all in one room. It's two double beds.
Right.
And I'm pregnant.
From bed to bed.
Yeah. Because it was so dirty. Yes. It was so dirty.
I actually remember this.
Yeah.
Hotel.
I told you guys motel. You couldn't walk on the floor. Motel.
I do remember it.
Definitely yes. Motel. And it was in a sketch neighborhood. So your dad told me outside entrance, you know, do not lock the door. And because I kind of wanted him to bring his key. He's like, I know you're bolting everything here. So anyway, your dad tricked me into doing a women's meeting. And I was so upset.
I remember feeling your pain when he would say things from the pulpit about, oh yeah, and tomorrow Lisa's going to do this. Or Lisa, will you come up here and share for 10 minutes on that thing that you shared with me a couple days ago?
Yeah. And then I'd be like, what thing? And I would normally have both of you on my lap.
Yeah.
Like you'd be playing with pieces of my jewelry to try to keep you entertained because you had to sit on the front row gosh. If I didn't trust the nursery. You
sure.
know, yeah, I mean, you know how that is. Yeah. You have kids now.
I do.
So, yeah. So anyway, he tricked me into doing a meeting. He had preached my one message that I had the night before. And so I was really stressed out. And God just challenged me the next morning when I tried to get my attitude right. I was like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't like women. He said, I do. He yeah. said, I created women as the answer to the very first problem. And I said, what was that? He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. And he said, women are answers to be embraced, not problems to be controlled. And he said, begin to talk to my daughters. And it was a Pentecostal holiness church where I wasn't sure how that message was going to go over when women can't even wear pants. And I was coming in with double pierced ears.
Man.
But yeah, so I remember God saying to me, what you hope to have, you're not going to have. But that doesn't mean I'm going to release you from being that woman to other women. And I said, I don't know how to be that woman. And he said, write it backwards. Everything you wish another woman would have been to you, you begin to be. And so that was actually my call into the ministry. It was a call from not a place of strength, a place of brokenness, a place of weakness, a place of fear. And
it was a place of service.
It was a place of service. Yeah. You know, I wasn't like, God,
really,
you're right. You need me to be doing
right.
this.
Every form of ministry. I think it's important for people to hear this, but every form of ministry is birthed from a place of service, from a place of recognizing and identifying brokenness, a lack, a separation, mm-hmm. a disconnect. and you're being sent by God as an ambassador to reconcile. Yes.
Yes. Obedience. I didn't want to do it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and for people that may not know this, you know, there was a number of reasons. Number one, I only have one eye. So I have a plastic eye. So I did not want to get up in front of people with my plastic eye. I was also like,
it would be like, why isn't her one eye moving
the exactly.
way her other eye is moving? And that's all they're thinking exactly. about the entire time you're sharing a message.
That's what I kind of felt like was going to happen. Mm. Plus, I was 7 months pregnant with Alec, which, you know, I believed in a 50-pound weight gain minimum for a good baby. So
healthy baby.
Yeah.
Alec is an extraordinary human being. So yeah. Yes. The plan worked out.
A lot of ice cream went into that baby. And yeah, I just felt awkward. I felt very ill-equipped, Addison. And I just think that God was like, yeah, you're going to have to lean in on me.
Yeah.
And so I have had the privilege of looking back and seeing what worked and what didn't work. And I feel like there's this desperate disconnect from the older women to the younger women.
All right. So talk to me about that, the disconnect.
Yeah. So we all have gaps in our lives. And some of those gaps are God gaps. You know, it's that gap that we will never feel full or satisfied because we're created for another realm, for eternity. We're not made for this earth. So this earth, things may have pleasure for a season, but then they get empty. You know, so we're going to never feel completely fulfilled in our marriage. Like our spouse can't meet all those gaps.
Right.
And so I'm not talking about a God gap. I'm talking about a community relational gap. And we see in Titus that, you know, Paul is talking to Timothy and he is talking to Titus and he is saying in both cases, hey, we got believers coming up and they don't have Bibles to read, but they have lives to watch.
Yes.
And so I need the older women to teach and train the younger women. But the older women were learning at the same time. They're like, wait, we're trying to figure this out. So he said, I need both to come up together.
Yes.
And he said, I need you to teach them how to love their husbands and train their children to do what is good, to be an example with their lives. And I think this is what's happened. We've got examples with our social media. We have examples with our books that we write. We have examples with our podcasts. But at the end of the day, if the example of our life, it does not coincide, if we do not walk nobly, that was one of the key words for the older women, to not gossip, to not be given to too much wine, not get too drunk. A lot of the very same qualifications that you see on an elder man is an elder woman. So we need to be an example. And so what happened was I realized I had a lot of gaps. When I was 30, I looked at my life and I said, I don't know how to be a mother. I don't know how to be a wife. I don't know how to be a minister. I don't know how to be a woman. In all honesty, I don't know how to do any of those things. And a lot of that was because my mom didn't know how to do those things.
Sure.
And so she had gaps in her life.
She came from a broken family.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so she couldn't be what I needed because she hadn't got what she needed. And that's at the end of the day, we need to stop blaming everybody and understand we're all broken.
Amen.
So I started to look up this idea of gaps. And a gap, according to Merriam-Webster, you and I both love words, okay? So this is a secret meaning that I love. It means a break or a breach in a military position. So it's a wall that's broken down that leaves both sides in an assailable position. An enemy can overrun you because you have a breach in your wall. And I think there is a breach between the older women and the younger women. The older women, either in a position of, listen, I can't be bothered, or they're thinking, no one wants what I have. Yeah. These younger women, they're so cool. They know how to do everything. They're like stylists. They got three Instagram accounts talking about their homes, talking about their ministries, talking about, you know, some other kind of makeup and hair. You know, like, they don't need me.
They're an expert at something they just learned a week ago.
Yes, yes.
I could say it. I'm a millennial. I could say it.
You can. Yes, you can say that. And so they're thinking that I don't have anything to offer them. Yeah. I don't know how to download an app or whatever it is, but they have forgotten that they have lived and applied things. So it's not an application.
We need that.
I'm saying
that as the younger generation.
Yes. And we so need that. They think that this treasure that is hard won in their lives is despised. They think nobody wants to hear what they learned, that nobody wants to see this. Our culture, let's just talk about it. Our culture celebrates youth and sexually attractiveness. That's basically what it values.
And our culture dishonors what has been to validate what could be.
Exactly. So it doesn't honor age. It doesn't honor wisdom. It doesn't honor gray hair, all those kind of things. And so now we've got that on one side, which is going to leave them in an assailable position because you know what? They're going to lose their legacy. They're never going to be able to pass on those things. And then we've got the young people.
So what do they do though when they feel like they're going to lose their legacy?
Well, so
They start acting.
They start acting
like what?
Critics anger and bitter.
Well, and also they start trying to act like the youth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Because they feel like they don't have
a place. Because they take on the value system
and the journey of
world.
Contribution. Yeah.
Yeah. But they also become critics.
Yeah.
So if you feel like somebody doesn't value what you have, you're going to criticize that culture.
So they stand on the side. They remove themselves from their life.
And they're like millennials. They're so entitled. Oh, Gen Z.
Or they try to act like them. Like, we don't need either of those.
Yeah. Both of those are bad.
As a millennial, I'm just saying. Like,
please don't.
We don't need those. Those aren't helpful.
Please don't do that. And then you've got the young people that, you know, they're so busy talking to their peers, but their peers haven't figured it out either. And so they're not getting the information they need from their peers. So they're kind of like, oh, wow, I'm only drawing on the information I already have to solve a problem that I'm in the middle of, and I don't have a solution. So they think the older women don't want to be involved with them, and they think that they can't be bothered. They're all retiring. They're all golfing. They're all doing whatever, whatever retired women do.
They have much more important things to do than answer my questions or help me navigate my situation.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's a lie.
On both sides,
it's a lie on both sides. So we have women that are godmothers who have so much to pour out, who are either retaining it and getting bitter because when you don't have a flow, the water gets stagnant in your
life.
Good. Yeah, it gets stagnant.
That's good.
Then we've got these young girls dying of thirst. And so they're drinking from the wrong wells. They're going to the wrong things. They're going to wine. I'm going to just get drunk every night to deal with my kids. I'm going to get divorced and maybe get in, a different situation. Maybe I'll just leave my husband relationship and go for a same sex relationship.
Because they're not borrowing experiences from other people. They constantly believe they have to go out and have a different experience, chase a different sensation, or get another solution.
Yeah. So get a designer purse or be angry at people that have nice things. So I'm either going to go into the Marxist or I'm going to go into the lasciviousness and the wealth thing. So we all over the board. And so moderation gets lost when you don't have generational connections. And
okay, so say that again.
Moderation gets lost when you don't have generational connections. So your kids, Addison is the father of my four grandkids. That gives me perspective.
Yeah.
Like I realize.
You see me navigating what it is to be a parent of young children.
Yes.
Which you're a couple decades removed from that. Yeah. But you also remember it.
I totally remember. And I also love that I can go for a walk with Lizzie or Sophia or the more recent one with August and impart something in a short amount of time because of the weight of my years.
Yes.
That you can't. Or let's just say maybe I'm not even imparting. Maybe I'm just reinforcing. Maybe I'm reinforcing something you've already implanted that he's like, I'm not sure about this, when another layer of generations say it. And you and I, we understand because you've been in the ministry a long time, Addison. We've been guests in a lot of different houses. There's a lot of brokenness that the church hasn't known how to navigate from the pulpit. And so I think that we need intimate connections with people that actually really care. And so I want to be a godmother, which means I'm going to come alongside people when they're in a crisis, and I'm going to help them see that crisis as a catalyst for growth.
I love that. Yeah. And you're going to help others discover what it means to do that.
Right. So that's what I tried to do in the book. I said, okay, this is, and I wrote letters to myself, and I talked about when godmothers and goddaughters connect.
Because this book bridges that gap.
Absolutely.
So it's not just for the godmothers. No. And it's not just for the women who believe they need a godmother.
Yeah. So the subtitle is Why You Need One. So there's like, oh, maybe I have a need for that. Okay. And how to be one.
Yes. I love that.
And so I feel like you can be a godmother at 20 to a 14-year-old.
Absolutely.
You can be a godmother at 15 to a 12-year-old. So it's not about knowing everything. It's just about knowing more than the person you're pouring into. And so
through pouring out, you create capacity to know and learn more.
Yeah. And I think we all need more than one. I mean, there's people that can pour into me that have one area that is an incredible weakness in my life. Yeah. And then there's other people that can pour into another area of my life. So we need a communal relationship. And, Addison, when I told you when I was reading the book, I kind of had a freak out moment how prophetic the book was. And
for this cultural moment.
Yeah. So can I just read a little bit?
Please do.
To me, this is really funny. So, you know, it's basically, you know, we're all talking about being woke. You know, oh, we're going to be woke. We're going to be woke. We're going to be woke. Yeah. Well, woke is not a new term. Woke is a Bible term. You know, so yeah, that's it, Ad. So anyway, we have this whole story. There's Israel under the leadership of a judge named Ehud for 80 years, prosperity, peace. 80 years of prosperity and peace, people start thinking, yeah, I am the Lord of my life.
We're gods.
Yeah, I don't need any help from God. Peace and prosperity does not produce warriors. No. And so then they go, yeah, let's just go back to some idol worship. Let's just, you know, we don't need to do this.
Which is a worship of self. Idol worship in scripture is always a worship of self. It's important for us to realize that, because when we think of idols, we're like,
we think
what?
Golden cow.
That's not our world.
Yep.
But it is a worship of self, which is very much alive and well today.
Yeah, it is. Judges 4:1 says, and the people of Israel, again, this is a pattern, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So then what happens is God's like, yeah, you know what? I love my people. But if they're going to be doing stupid stuff, then I'm going to bring something across their path that's going to wake them up.
Yeah.
And so it says the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Anyway, this guy, he's rough, but then he's got this general who has 900 iron chariots. I can't even imagine how terrifying that was. So he's running over the people's life. And in that season, there's a woman called Deborah. And Deborah is the prophetess and the judge in Israel. And for 20 years, she navigates the infighting of her people. And I think we need to hear that. We got infighting among the people of God right now. We have infighting of the different camps. We have oppression on the outside. So they had oppression on the outside, but not only were they oppressed on the outside, they were divided on the inside. So Deborah is navigating all this. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know why she finally just was like, enough of this nonsense. It said village life ceased. Now, I want to talk about that. It said that all the trade routes were cut off. That's where we are right now. Trade routes cut off. And the people refused to work their fields because they were afraid if they went out to their own fields, they would be attacked. So they wouldn't even work their own fields. Okay.
Wow.
And then it said village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Arose a mother in Israel. That's the New King James Version, but I loved this one. The NET says warriors were scarce. They were scarce in Israel until you arose, Deborah, until you arose as a motherly protector in Israel. Then I love this one. It says Judges 5:7. This is the NCV. There were no warriors in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. And then my very favorite, compliments of Eugene Peterson, says warriors became fat and sloppy, no fight left in them. Sounds like COVID. Okay, then you, Deborah, rose up. You got up a mother in Israel.
Come on.
So I don't know if there was no warriors or just a few fat, sloppy warriors, but this motherly protector.
The warriors are just going through the routine.
Yeah.
They weren't really warriors.
Hey, in video games, hey guys, video games don't count. Video games don't count. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. Yeah. And so what did she do? She summoned Barak. And that means, or Barak, however you want to say it. He was a prince in exile. And so when motherly protectors wake up, they call forth the destiny of their people. And that is what we need to have. We need to stop talking about the problem. We need to start talking about the solution. And she says, has God not said to you? And then she calls forth his destiny. Then she commands him, hey, get 10,000 people from these particular tribes and engage your real enemy. See, I feel like we're engaging our shadow enemy and not the real enemy. But a godmother can tell you, oh, I know this is a mess down here. But let me tell you who your real enemy is. And let me tell you who you really are. And there's this unique scripture in the book of Jeremiah where it says God's going to do a new thing and a woman is going to encompass a warrior. And I feel like everybody's like, I don't know. I mean, all the commentaries, even NT, he was like, we're not sure what that
NT
is about.
Right, for the record.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not sure. But this is what I saw when I prayed about it, Addison. I believe that we have a chance as God daughters, because we're all God's daughters and godmothers, to come alongside the men who are now in a seated position of oppression and depression and wrap our arms around them and whisper in their ears, you are a prince of the Most High God. Let me tell you who your real enemy is. It is not the women. It is not our culture. It is not this, you know, bipartisan issues. It is not even the racial issues. Those are all issues. I'm not saying they're not issues. Sure. I'm talking about a higher vantage and us being able to understand that when we move on earth in prayer, in response to need, then we have found out in Judges chapter 5 that even the stars in heaven begin to fight on our behalf.
Come on.
Everything that happens here on earth is actually happening in the heavenlies, and everything happening in the heavenlies is happening here on earth. We are not disconnected from an eternal realm, and we need to stop thinking that we are. And that's what godmothers do. They say, baby girl, hey, this is a rough realm, but this is not your ultimate realm. There is an eternal connection and there is a prince. And it isn't about a glass slipper or a ball that you're not invited to. There is a eternal
supper. It's so much bigger than this moment.
Exactly.
Too.
So that's what I want to do. I want to remind people of the why.
Come on. I love that, because when you were sharing that, Romans 5:17 came to mind, where it talks about this idea, we are liberated to rule. To reign.
Yeah.
It's not just about getting by. And really, it's not even just about what's happening here. Ephesians 6, we're not warring against flesh and blood. We are warring against principalities and powers and darkness that we can't even understand unless we are warring by the Spirit. And that's what I'm seeing right now. I feel like we live in a time when everyone else is the enemy.
Yeah.
Everyone else is the enemy, which is the opposite of the heart of God. Yeah. The heart of God is a family that transcends culture, that transcends ethnicity.
And
that
Jesus
transcends
never sided.
Race, right? Transcends generation. Yeah. It's a family connection. And
that.
The enemy of our soul, he is going after the family. I'm not just talking about the family unit. I'm talking about the family of God.
Yeah, he is.
He hates the idea of family. God has always worked through family. Mm-hmm. The covenant idea of God has always worked through family.
Yeah.
And we live in a time when this is getting tossed aside, and the gaps, right? Like you're talking about those gaps.
Yeah.
They're exacerbated. They're exploited.
Yeah,
and I love this message
gaps.
Because you're saying, no. God's heart is for family.
Yeah.
God's heart is for connection across every single family line.
Yeah.
And we need to take that back.
We do. And this is, there's two things I want to share. I love Isaiah 58 verse 12. I'm going to read it out of the message. This is what I believe we have a chance to do as godparents, godfathers who care more about their children than their own little agendas. It says, you'll use the old rubble of past lives. What, right there, that's really interesting. Rubble of past lives. So things that were destroyed in your past can actually be redeemed to build anew.
Not just your past, the past.
Other past, yeah, of past lives, like past generational lives. Mm-hmm. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate. That's why we all love makeovers. Make the community livable again.
Come on.
And then this is, some people are like, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what I'm called to do as a godmother. I don't know what I'm called to do as a father in the spirit. I don't know what I'm called to do as a son or a daughter. But listen to this. I love the Message translation version of Matthew 5 verse 9, it says, you're blessed. What does that mean? There's something intangible. There's something larger on your life. When you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete and fight, that's when you discover who you really are. Wait a minute.
The largeness room for other people and seeing other people not just as they are, but as they could be.
You discover you're a godmother.
Come on.
Discover you're God's daughter. When you actually teach other people how to not compete and fight,
but when you wake up
to see them
bigger than this
moment,
is then culture, whatever's saying and trying to label them as.
Yeah. Wow. And then it says, then that's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. So as we find ways for other people to find their place, we discover our place in God's family. So I want to raise up a generation of goddaughters and godmothers who help others discover their place in God's family and in turn discover their place in God's family.
Well, that seems like a really good exclamation point moment. I think we need to end it on there. And if you're listening to this right now, go out, get the book, get it for your friends, get it for your family. dive into it, I believe that this is a legacy message from Lisa, meaning this isn't just an idea that she had over a year or two. This is something that she has lived for decades. This is something that she has sown into for decades. So we're talking about decades of wisdom, decades of struggle, decades of understanding.
Decades of mistakes.
Decades of mistakes. And so, Mom, thank you. And just so y'all know, you can get the book wherever books are sold. You can go to messengerpodcast.com/godmothers. Look, if you want to find it, you can find it. It's out there. And I'm just encouraging you, please, this isn't just a book. This isn't just a book. This is a message. This is a message for this cultural moment. Yeah. And Lisa, I'm so thankful that you would do this. I'm so thankful that you would share this. I'm so thankful that you did the hard work. I saw you write this book. I don't know if it was was this the hardest book you've ever written? It was definitely one of them.
Yeah, it was definitely one of them. I feel like, to be honest with you, Addison, I think it's always hardest for me when I go more personal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. And also, you have a new podcast called The Godmother.
The Godmother.
The yes. Godmother.
I get
y'all,
to be the
Godmother.
The podcast
Come
Godmother.
Come on, that is stinking cool.
The Godmother. Yes.
It's on Apple
Which
Podcasts.
Which I really want to have you as a guest.
I would love
on
to,
my
yeah, I would love to come
Godmother
on.
Podcast.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
But it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So if you're not subscribed already to The Godmother. I feel like I have to say it like that. The Godmother podcast. Make sure to do that. You have amazing guests on that show. I love how you're bringing the different generations in for conversation. And I'm very excited about it because in this season of my life, in this season of your life, Mom, I'm really looking for you to do projects that are legacy projects because again, you have decades that you have worked for and sown in and reaped harvests. And I love that you are sharing that in this season and you're intentional to share it. So I love you. I have so much respect and honor and appreciation for you. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, absolutely. I would never say no to my firstborn and it's been an incredible honor.
And for all of you listening, thank you so much for tuning in. And as you go, remember, you are a messenger to the people in your world. Your life is a message. So lean into God's grace and watch your world change. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Messenger Podcast. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows in the Messenger Podcast Network, including The Godmother with Lisa Bevere, Conversations with John and Lisa, and Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. You can connect with us through Facebook, Instagram, and through our website at messengerinternational.org. Until next time.